Writer Daisy Hernandez is no stranger to subjects people don't want to talk about. Her memoir, A Cup of Water Under My Bed, delves into a lot of dangerous territory. Daisy grew up in New Jersey. She's the daughter of a Colombian mother and a Cuban father. When she was a teenager, she got her first job after school working at McDonald's.
I finally have money, so I want to buy all the stuff that my mother's not buying me, like the really expensive lipstick and the eyeshadows and the clothing and pretty much every desire that I feel has been denied to me my whole youth. A manager there actually approached me and said, "Hey, I've got a proposition for you." And she showed me how I could basically take an order but not ring the order up and still keep people their change. So what's going to happen is the register is going to end up having more money than what it shows that it should have, right? And she said, "I'll give you a cut at the end." And I didn't understand exactly, like, oh, I'm stealing or doing something bad, because I was 15 and she was cool and I wanted her to really like me. And I look back now and I think, oh my God, like, I could have ended up, you know, in juvie at 15. And it was really just like plain stupidity. It wasn't even like, I know I'm doing something evil and I have chosen it. It was like, I am just a dumb kid. And at the end of the night, she gives me something like $300. But then I get to college and I discover you don't have to steal. You can get a credit card. And they'll just give it to you. And I had only ever seen credit cards, I think, on TV or not even films, TV shows. No one in my family had a credit card. My dad and my mom really believed, you know, nada de deudas. You know, you just don't owe money. That the worst thing that could ever happen to you was owing money. But I am their U.S.-born daughter. I believe owing people money is fine. And I go out and the first thing I do is buy $100 pair of shoes. And my poor mother is looking at my feet like, ¿cuánto costó? $100? Like, she just couldn't imagine that you could spend that much money on a pair of shoes. But this is the 90s. It's the hip-hop era. Everybody has Timberlands. These are the cool shoes that everyone else has. And so, again, it's sort of me wanting to fit in just like anyone else. Coming from a working class family where you did have to be conscientious about cada centavo that was coming in, this idea that we know we're not really middle class, but we feel like we can buy into that life and buy into that lifestyle. And for me, it did get out of control. For me, everything started being paid for with a credit card here and there and here and there. I had consolidated, you know, you consolidate the credit cards. So I'm sending them these huge checks every month. But in my brain, it does not compute that if I'm sending them $300, but I'm still using the credit card and charging $500 a month, I'm still going to owe money more and more. So I ended up going to the support group. And the first thing that they tell you is you have to cut up all the credit cards. And I said, no way, but I will put them in the freezer so that way I can slow down. You know, it's like an alcoholic. And then after 4 years of not using those credit cards, I was very tempted, or thought I would be tempted. My debt was significantly reduced. I was definitely living within my means. My feelings about money and my identity as a Latina had dramatically changed. I had to then unravel a lot of the feelings that would come up because, okay, then I'm in a situation where, I have a fiesta to go to, and no, I can't buy the super expensive bottle of wine for my host because I don't have that money. So now I'm going to get the cheaper bottle of wine. I feel like a loser showing up with that cheaper wine. All of a sudden, feeling like I'm going to be the only Latina at this white party with her cheap booze. Or what, it could have been some other gift, you know? And I realized, oh yeah, there's this way in which as Latina in a predominantly white professional world, I'm constantly feeling like I have to prove myself. And so as I stopped using credit cards and started to just feel those feelings and realize, wait a minute, my money has nothing to do with my self-worth. It has nothing to do with my sense of being a Latina or my adequacy to do a job or to be a good friend or any of this stuff. I started to feel better about myself. And so I knew I didn't need the credit card.
Daisy may have stopped feeling like her identity depended on money, but she still had doubts when it came to her professional life. She was interning at her dream publication, the New York Times. But her experience made her question the morals behind what many consider the most respected institution in the news business.
It was the spring of 2003, and there was a young reporter by the name of Jason Blair at the New York Times. I was there as a reporting intern, and which was exactly how he had started at the newspaper, too. So Jason Blair was someone that presumably I was supposed to be aspiring to be. But in the spring of 2003, it became really clear that he was actually plagiarizing stories. He was stealing stories. The head editor, Howell Raines at the time, was blamed for playing favorites with Jason Blair because Jason Blair is a Black man. The racial anxieties that people might have been trying to keep behind a closed door suddenly were able to come out. And the story became, he only got as far as he did because he's Black. This would never happened with a white reporter. As a good friend of mine says, when white people get anxious, they call a meeting. they want to do something. And so there was a huge town hall meeting with where all New York Times employees were invited to attend. And so we're in this theater. It's hundreds of people. It's extremely uncomfortable. Howell Raines actually admitted to the group something along the lines of saying, you all have a right to ask if I played favorites, if I had too much sympathy for Jason Blair, and he acknowledged, as a white man from the South, we do take stances about race, right? And I remember just sitting in the audience, just being like, don't go there. I just knew that the people in this audience were not going to be sympathetic to him. They were so angry. They felt that their institution had been betrayed. And for me personally, I felt like they were really, really angry that a young Black man had received certain opportunities. And then he admitted, I think I did give him too many chances because of race. And those weren't his exact words, but there was something to that effect. There was an idea that the scandal was this young Black man plagiarizing the stories. And absolutely, that is a scandal. But it's not a scandal that this newsroom does not look like the rest of the city. This is not a multiracial newsroom like the rest of the city. This is an incredibly white newsroom of reporters and editors. There were very few of us as people of color at that time. And that is not a scandal, And no one talks about that, right?
Daisy talks about a whole lot of other interesting topics in her memoir. The book is called A Cup of Water Under My Bed. And you can find a link to Daisy Hernandez's website on our site, latinousa.org.